Gardner. All right, so me and Tiki are going to try to break this down piece by piece, the finances of this, because as we were talking about it, different amounts, different tweets were coming in hot and heavy. Here is the latest we got from Adam Schefter, and if you're just getting in the car, again, Sauce Gardner has signed a four-year contract extension with the New York Jets.
Extension being the operative word.
Exactly, because he technically had 2 years left to play for. Yes. Okay. The guarantee on Sauce Gardner's new four-year deal is $85.653 million.
Right.
Okay.
And that's because they picked up his fifth-year option, which is next year's salary, 2026, not 2025. He's making $1 million this year. He's making 20.184 next year based off the fifth-year option. Then you tack on the 60 that was guaranteed on the extension, that 60-plus, that makes it the guarantee that everybody's talking about.
Yes. Okay. Now, here's the next bit of information from Adam Schefter. Sauce Gardner will now be under contract for the next 6 years at an average of $24.31 million, a four-year extension for $30.1 million average per year. So him and Garrett Wilson are under contract through 2030, but have no guarantees, neither of them do, in 29 or 30.
Right. So those last 2 years basically are not guaranteed deals or guaranteed years. So it's not instead of 2 years you can get out, it's 4 years you
Correct.
Can potentially get out so for both of them.
So at the end of 2028, there are no guaranteed money going to Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson, meaning one of two things. Either at that point before those last 2 years, those guys are either going to be in line for an extension.
Right.
Or you could cut bait with zero money owed to them after 4 years from now.
It's actually a great deal.
Yeah, that's great math by Mucci and the Jets.
When you think of it from a Jets standpoint.
And think about the Jets' timeline again. The whole thing with paying talent. And we've seen this happen with the Dallas Cowboys, too. Every time they have these big first-round picks and they got to pay them, right?
Yes.
When you have a lot of money tied up to a Dak Prescott, that convolutes things. The Jets have Justin Fields playing under contract this year. If he plays well enough to earn an extension, he's not going to get a big five-year, $60 million per extension. He just hasn't done enough in his career. You will make a decision on him either to have another short-term deal,
mm-hmm.
or you will get out and you will draft a quarterback, in which case you now will then have a rookie quarterback under guaranteed money, 26, 27, 28. And then you're going to look after 3 years to pay him. And that aligns when you have no guaranteed money with Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. That's important
yep.
because you'll be able to reevaluate your franchise at that point in time and decide where you want to allocate your money, resources. And as we all know, after 3 years of draft picks and whatnot, who knows right. where else you got. So this actually timelines perfect with either paying Justin Fields short-term money if he does enough this year or drafting a quarterback and right. not having to worry about paying these guys until you have to pay him.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because when you contrast this with some of the mistakes that general managers have made over the last couple of years, and I'm alluding to, but not specifically, talking about with the Giants,
right.
locking up your best offensive player to an extent right when you get there so
yeah.
that you know what you have, what you're trying to build around. It's smart in the sense
yeah.
that it gives you two elite level players that you can now build around, and you're not worried about in a year from now or 2 years from now trying to negotiate a contract as the salary cap is rising and they want to be the highest paid to overpay them a year or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Instead, you lock them in to deals which sound great right now, but let's face it, when the salary cap goes up, $20-something million in the next 2 years, $31 million a year for wide receiver and or cornerback is going to feel cheap.
Especially if they're still at the top of
right.
their game in that position.
Right.
So, I don't know how you look at this from a Jet fan and think this is a bad thing at all. This is exactly what you want to do when you don't have a quarterback paid big money, long term, anything like that. And also what this does is when you're trying to grow a culture in a locker room, I'm using that word culture again. I've never been in them. Tiki has.
Yeah.
New regime, new head coach, new general manager. Sends a message, I would think, Tiki, to that entire room. Hey, we do our job. Doesn't matter if we were drafted by another guy previous to that regime.
Right.
They will take care of you. Also, you know, look, taking care of them like this is one thing. The Jets could go through some growing pains. We don't know what to expect from the Jets this
mm-hmm.
year. We've talked about their talent. We don't know what to expect from Justin Fields. It's the first year of a coach implementing a system. We're going to have a wide range of record predictions as we go down that list of the Jets in the next coming weeks and we start to talk more football. No doubt
right.
about it. If this is a year where the Jets do win four or five games, You're not going to have your two best players on both sides being disgruntled, mouthing right. off. They just got paid. And next year, if there's a rookie quarterback going through rookie quarterback pains, neither of these guys could be the first ones in front of a microphone. Not that they would.
No.
Complaining because they've gotten paid and they've gotten taken care of. And with these guarantees, they're not exactly going to be in a position to ask for trades or get traded either.
No, you're right.
The Jets have squashed any distraction as they try to build this thing up from the ground up and get two pillars on each side of the ball.
Because those were the two that would have been, that were the, not the issues, but they were going to become issues if they didn't have contracts.
Exactly.
And so you get them out of the way early. They're locked in until 2030 in theory. And right now you can just build.
You build
quietly, right? It's funny. These deals take place during the All-Star break. It's kind of a dead part in the the sports world right now. I guess training camp being a week away, it's about to gear up, but we're not there yet. This isn't a week two or day three of training camp surprise. This is a week plus ahead of training camp.
Yeah, no. Nope.
I mean, it's really smart and well done.
They didn't, and this is where you and I had disagreed about an hour ago. You didn't think that Sauce would get paid early. I wasn't sure, but I knew that. The moment camp opened with Garrett Wilson getting a deal, what do you think Sauce was going to be asked
about? He's going to want a deal.
He's going to want a deal.
It's no different than Terry McLaurin right now.
Exactly. And that's a major distraction for a Washington team that's trying to build culture and do the right thing.
The difference is Terry McLaurin is 6 years in. These two guys are going into their fourth year.
But nonetheless, it is hard coming into that Jet building as a new GM and a new coach, knowing what you're trying to wipe the stench away from being. Mm. We can make all the jokes around here about the Jets because we've seen it, you know, the same old Jets. Getting this thing going and eliminating distractions and taking care of players, I don't care what you think of the player themselves. I just think it's good business in trying to reestablish a new identity that is the New York Jets, taking care of their players, no distractions. And also, how about this one? Sauce Gardner, we kind of joked, he broke the news himself.
That's great.
On his Twitter. A deal is done, happy to be a Jet, yada, yada. You can go to Sauce Gardner's Twitter. It's a minute or two later that Rappaport and Schefter have the news. Now, you might be thinking, well, what does that mean? What's the big deal? How about Aaron Rodgers when he was with the Jets complaining about leaks left and right with the Jets? How could there be leaks left and right if it's the player himself that broke the news of his contract extension today?
That's right.
You know, that like that's a little thing.
I love
thing.
That. Take control
of it. Take control of it. I think there's something to that because the old Jets, Sauce Gardner might have been the last one to know he signed the extension. He would have been tweeting about it. 888-808-1019. Reed in Manhattan. Reed, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Love the show.
Thanks,
this
man.
This is what I love about this. You know, great for Garrett, great for Sauce to get paid. But what I love about it is that they're willing to commit, particularly Garrett, to the Jets and to Aaron Glenn at this point. Garrett Wilson has been a phenomenal receiver. Everybody can see the talent. Without a quarterback, struggling, can't win a game. And the fact that he's willing this early in the Aaron Glenn regime to sign a long-term deal, I think it's a great sign for how he feels about it. And you know what? I trust his ability to evaluate whether this guy's going to be a good coach and whether this is going to be a winning culture. So I think it's a great sign for the Jets. And I think it's time to get excited about this Jets team.
Excited about this Jets team.
Not there yet.
Not there yet. I'm getting a little excited for the Jets.
I mean, you know, I have no idea what it's going to look like.
We don't either, but that's part of the excitement, Tiki.
I mean, we barely have heard from the coach. I guess
that's a good thing.
I think it's because I'm so dispassionate about football, right? I get excited about it, but I really want to break down
everything about
the X's and O's. But I can see how an off-season move like this is exciting for people.
It has to be. And also, if you're not there yet with football, okay? Look, it's summertime. You know, maybe you're a teacher. You're out at the beach all the time, enjoying your time off, and you don't want to think about football until September.
Right.
It has been months because of the seasons we sat through. And you're not trying to rush summer-long baseballs every day. You didn't get the hockey playoff runs you wanted. You had a Nick run. You will get there. I promise you will get there. And I think that these extensions, like you hear a caller like that, it's starting to make you think, okay, wow, okay, these aren't the distracting, disgruntled Jets. Oh, okay, that's right. We do have a new head coach. I think he's starting to get tickled. I think fans are starting to get tickled. Artie in Lincoln Park. Artie, are you tickled? Doesn't sound it.
Artie, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Nothing much. Same thing, different day. I feel like a lot of fans love to freak out about the finance part of sports, when in actuality, these players are grinding for their money just like how we would at our 9-to-5.
Of course.
Like, they don't understand the other side of it where, hey, like, they're busting their butts for these contracts because most of the time these two are very lucky with the Jets, but they don't get these guarantees. And once they get the guarantees, now I feel like this is also a good benefit to show how they're building their culture, because now other players may want to come in maybe for trades, or maybe when they get drafted into these teams, know what they're trying to build. Like, do you understand what I'm trying to
say? No, I know. Basically what you're saying is if you live up to the billing, whatever that billing is, it doesn't matter if you're a first-round pick, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever. If you do your job, they're going to take care of you. And yes. I think what Sauce and Garrett Wilson have shown, not only to the Jets, but really for the observing public, because we really haven't gotten a lot out of this organization. We've got a couple of press conferences, that's it, is we are going to take care of the players that are most important to our future. And if you prove that you are that player, then you know what? Maybe they'll take care of you too. That's really what it sends. That's the message that it sends. And it's not always that way. We know this.
No.
Sometimes these GMs, they make guys fight for their contracts, and they push them to the limit, and they tell them, you know, right when they're up against it and they're a free agent and about to walk, well, you're not really worth it to us. You know, we'll sign you, but we'll sign you for this smaller amount.
Remember Earl Thomas's situation in Seattle?
Yeah, exactly.
And he went out and got hurt and gave basically the middle fingers and getting carted off.
Right.
Why do we only make it about what an athlete gets paid, and we don't do that in other forms of entertainment? If The Rock makes a bad movie, nobody goes, The Rock made $50 million to do that
movie.
Right,
and he sucked.
And it sucked.
Right.
Or what a musician makes.
Because with the movies, we are one and done. If you hate a movie, you complain about the movie, you move on. These seasons last forever. True. You're watching multiple games.
You're watching it over and over.
You're buying
and over
jerseys
and over
hats.
Again. Yeah.
You're not buying a Rock movie shirt.
All right, so then an actor on a TV show that does several seasons and maybe you don't like the show, what are they getting paid? Like, I don't know what any musician makes, but we know what athletes make. It's public. We don't know what entertainers make.
Luigi, I think it's because the evaluation is not up to the fan. Right? And so in football or sports, the evaluation is, did you win or did you lose?
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas in movies, the evaluation is up to the... We could say, oh, Rock, that movie was garbage. 30,000 other people will be like, that was the greatest Rock movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So when the evaluation...
Sounds like the Superman stuff that's going on.
When the evaluation is up to the fan, it's just... It's not... It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's up to, you know, W or L... Or statistical analysis, as it is in baseball, right? You know,
right? There's a basis to go by. You can look at numbers.
There's something finite. It's not. There's no. It's one way. It's not two ways. It's one way.
It is more up to the eye of the beholder and opinion when it comes to the entertainment business.
But I think we focus so much on the fact that, well, they're getting paid to have fun. So are actors, though.
Right.
So, like, they just happen to be good at athletics. That's their job. And they happen to get paid a lot of money because, guess what? We watch it. That's why they get paid a lot of money for it.
Baseball and basketball might be fun. Football is not fun.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, you're putting your body in ridiculous.
Your body is never going to be the same.
Yeah.
Once you play a season or more, your body is never going to be the same.
That sounds really sad, Tiki. You're making me not look forward to football. I know it's true.
It's just the reality of it. I'm not talking about, you know, when they're 24, but when you're 50 and you're like my brother and at some point you're going to need a knee replacement, like, that sucks.
That does suck.
Right? There's guys out there, you know, running marathons like me at 50. My brother could never run a marathon. Never. He wouldn't make it.
So we've got to the root of the issue. Tiki wants to remind his brother that he's still more athletic than him.
No, I'm just not as beat up. I didn't play six more years than he did.
You're right.
Or six less years than he did. So it's like there's a toll.
There is a toll.
That comes and play in this sport.
Which is why now at 50, Tiki could roll into a place where he might be the oldest guy, but he looks the youngest and he's in the best physique and he can stretch himself out. Unlike us. If we walk the wrong way, we stub a toe. 888-808-1019. Hunter and Poughkeepsie. Hunter, what's up, man?
What up, Hunter?
Hey, what's up, guys? Been a while. Tiki, that's a hell of a comment for me to have to follow up on, so I'll do my best here.
My bad.
So two things. The first thing is just a quick comment. As a Yankees fan, as Chisholm last night, woof.
Oh, God. I mean, but we kind of liked it.
Yeah.
He was done quick.
We're going to collect our thoughts maybe on that at the top of the hour on him, but yes.
So the second thing is the last 2 days have made something very clear to me as a Jets fan, and that's that we have been beaten down so badly and abused that we can't even realize when a good thing has happened to us.
Yeah.
So,
That's fair.
Like, for years and years and years, we've wished we had a guy of our own that was good enough to lock up long term,
right,
that we could be proud of him being our guy. And these guys have succeeded despite the team, not because of the team. And now they're being rewarded for it, which is a good thing. We now have two Pro Bowl players that essentially we're going to have for like 8 years when it's all said and done,
yep,
between their rookie deal and their current deal. And then a Jets fan, of course, is going to find a way to complain about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
One guy that
who else would it be?
That,
who's the only person? Right, it's Quinnen Williams, maybe? Like, who else have you signed?
Yeah. And the only other person that I really want them to go after would be, I love Quincy Williams, for example. He's
right.
One of my favorite players. But also, Jermaine Johnson needs to get an extension as well. But the one guy who called up said that Sauce Gardner was a poor man's version of Deion Sanders. And I know that was supposed to be a slight, but that's the biggest compliment you could give that guy.
Right.
And like also,
a poor man's Hall of Famer? I take that.
Well, not for nothing, too. You look at the richest quarterback. Deion is the poor man's version of Sauce Gardner now at this point, too.
Yeah,
at $30.1 million average per year.
That's a good point.
Insane to look at it that way. He does bring up a good point. We've talked about this with Jermaine Johnson coming off the Achilles, coming back. And
yeah,
you know, he was the third member of that class. But remember, their second-round pick in that draft class, something we've talked about the last 2 days, is Breece Hall.
Mm.
And, you know, Tiki, I'd be curious to get your thoughts when we come back on the other side. If you had to pick one between the two, a Jermaine Johnson coming off an Achilles, sit on this, don't give it to me yet, or Breece Hall's the running back, knowing the idea of running backs, do they get paid, do they not get paid? And you can only pick one to give the long-term extension to, and Jet fans, this goes for you too. Jermaine Johnson or Breece Hall? Mm. Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner now both in back-to-back days have reached contract extension. Sauce Gardner becoming the highest paid cornerback in NFL history, $0.1 million on average more than Derek Stingley. Almost petty.
Nice.
Almost petty. We're going to continue to take your calls, 888-808-1019. I did pose this question to you, though, Tiki. Jermaine Johnson was a member of that first round that now has seen Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner get paid. He, unfortunately, did get hurt last year and, of course, was drafted in the back half of that first round as well. You also have Breece Hall, who was drafted in the second round of that draft class. In the world of we can't pay everybody.
Yeah, I know.
If the Jets are... you know, I say this tongue-in-cheek, but this really may be a discussion that Darren Mooji's having. Who gets paid next?
Right.
Is it Jermaine Johnson and you take care of a pass rusher, albeit one that's off an injury? Now, you're not going to do it yet. Obviously, I think we're done doing them now.
Yeah.
Or are you committing long-term to the running back that is Breece Hall?
Well, to me, it's an easy answer simply because of the circumstances. So, Jermaine Johnson, like Sauce Gardner, and like Garrett Wilson, had his fifth-year option picked up. And we talked about this briefly yesterday. Right. It's why you knew at least one of those guys, and now we've seen two of those guys, were going to get their deals done, because in 2026, so not this season, but next season, they were going to have 50-something million dollars in guaranteed salary for three players on 1 year's cap. So,
right.
It just didn't make any sense. One or two, now we've found out, two of those guys had to get paid. The question will be, when they finally get to Jermaine Johnson, you know, what's he going to make? And there's not a lot of young, you know, top-end paid edge rushers. I think the youngest one, I was just looking at it now and I forgot, and I told you and I forgot now at the top of my head. But there's not a ton of them that have been paid when they're 25 years old. Gregory Rousseau was the youngest one. He's 25 up in Buffalo. And so, to me, the answer is easily Breece Hall. Because Breece Hall is dynamic as a runner. We also know he's a very good wide receiver. He's athletic as hell and dynamic. He had a down year, but a lot of that was schematic. And you heard some of the complaints as the year started to weed out and then ultimately in the offseason. And I think Breece is a dynamic player. And most importantly, you're going to have to pay him now.
Yes.
Because his contract is over after this year. Jermaine Johnson's contract is extended until after 2026. So I think circumstances are gonna lead me to answer Breece Hall.
I would agree. However, the caveat becomes how much. And I do.
But that's the other thing.
Yeah, because I do wonder how much of this is a copycat league.
But running backs aren't getting paid. And so
now,
if he has a close to 1,500-yard season and is one of the best running backs in football, then maybe he's going to make $12 million a year. If it's not that, if it's anything less than that, he's making $8 to $10 million a year, and that's very swallowable, especially if it's a long term deal and it's it's capped out, meaning
yeah,
funged around with the cap. So it's not big cap hits over the next couple of years.
And this is kind of the danger the Jets are playing with Breece Hall now as well, because, again, this is a copycat league.
Yes.
I have been very big on, hey, you don't really want to invest a ton in running back. We had this whole Saquon thing in this town. But the Eagles just did win a Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley. And that comes on the heels of the 49ers making a Super Bowl of an insane year with Christian McCaffrey, where he's making a lot of money. If this is now, we didn't really have big running backs in the free agency market this offseason, but if Breece Hall has a big year and this offense is designed to be ground and pound, would another team be willing to throw a ton of money at Breece Hall, and you're sitting there playing the franchise tag game and all that at the end of the year?
I just don't see it, because you think about Jonathan Taylor, who signed his deal early. He was 25 when he signed his deal. He is making $15 million, $14 million a year. Derrick Henry's making $15 million. Christian McCaffrey, which we all know is an outlier, bad deal, is making $19 million. And then Saquon, as a reward for what he just did, is making $20 million. So there are two outliers, Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, and everybody else is around the $15 to $12 million range.
What's Derrick Henry getting on that list?
Derrick Henry is 15.
15, okay.
15, Jonathan Taylor's 14. Alvin Kamara is 12. That feels like an overpay. Josh Jacobs is 12. He's probably about right. Aaron Jones is 10, and everybody else is below $10 million a year. And so unless you are elite of the elite, and this is AAV, by the way, you're not getting paid as a running back. You're getting paid, it's money. Like, it's good money. I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's not $30 million a year.
And to go back to that timeline of a potential rookie quarterback or everything, and this might sound nauseating that I'm on the second hour talking about this, but it's the truth.
Right.
You know, do the math on running backs and the length of time they spend in the league compared to others. Tiki, you know this better than anybody. Mm-hmm. If you pay Breece Hall for the next 4 years, there's a good chance you're going to pay him, even if you get to that $11 million mark or something like that, before you ever really have to spend a true dollar on
and
the quarterback.
And that's cheap.
That is cheap.
Right. If you're paying him $11 million for 4 years, let's say he's making $50 over the next 4 years. It's cheap, relatively speaking, especially when your quarterback is not costing you anything.
And you could figure out what you're doing eventually if McDonald's takes off. McDonald.
Yeah.
You know, if he snack wraps himself into a contract, you're going to figure that one out.
Nice one.
Yeah, see? Come on. I'm working. I'm workshopping. All right. But Breece Hall over Jermaine Johnson.
I would say yes.
Okay. 888-808-1019. Will in Belmore. Will, what's up, man?
What's going on, Sean, Tiki? How you guys doing today?
How are you, Will?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. As a Jets fan, as a Jets season ticket holder, listen, I am very, very ecstatic about these two deals, Gary Wilson and Sauce Gardner, obviously. I mean, outside of Quinn and Williams, when was the last time the Jets actually had a first-round draft pick re-sign, let alone you get two of them like this? This is absolutely nuts. It's insane. Obviously, we know that as Jet fans right now, I know, Sean, you're a Giant fan. Tiki, you're a Giant alumni. To that extent, you know, I can't remember the last time I was this hyped about two guys coming back like
this.
Well,
you should be. You should be, Will, because they're top of their game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And they're about to enter the prime of their lives right now, which is absolutely crazy to think about as well. And also, too, like, there's no, I don't want to bring up Aaron Rodgers, but there's no distractions here at this point in time.
Right.
This is awesome. This is.
When was the last time we could say that?
Great, great time.
Now, Will, before we let you go, I got to know, you're a season ticket holder. What's the tailgate situation like? What are we cooking?
Listen, I take the train. The train's the way to go, in my opinion.
So, what do you do pregame, Will? What are you, an Evan? You eat a tuna sandwich on the train? You roll into the stadium?
I have a pizza. Come on, you know that. Come on, pizza or bacon and egg sandwich. Come on.
Come on. That's not a tailgate. I understand.
I actually don't mind that.
I understand what he's doing, but part of being a season ticket holder is the tailgate scene. The train's for one-off tickets. Tommy, come on, help me out.
Yeah, the only reason to go to a football game, in my opinion, that it's not prime time, is for the tailgate.
Well, that's not the only reason to go, but
I think that, at least, I speak for myself. I don't like going when all the other games are on. I like being on my couch. I only like a primetime game in person. But yeah, if you're a season ticket holder, the tailgate, drinking, playing, you know, games or whatever, that's the fun.
It's great.
Especially when it's warm out in like September.
Now, bacon, egg, and cheese in the morning before a good football Sunday's great.
And everything bagel, but toasted.
People go roll. I don't.
I don't go roll a croissant. That's that to me is.
It's bagel or bust.
I agree. Well, we're agreeing too much.
I agree
that we agree.
It's the show that agrees. Michael in Toms River. Michael, what's up?
I agree with you guys. I'm thankful that the Jets are going to have a lot more day games, so with season ticket holders, it's a lot easier when it's a day game. Those night games are brutal on you.
Yeah, unless you don't start work till 2 o'clock the next day afternoon, then you love night games, like me.
Oh, I don't have that luck. But no, I had a few things. So, Tiki, first thing, I hated you for a little bit because you cost me a 2006 championship versus the Saints.
My bad.
71 yards, man. Come on, baby.
I feel you.
I had a question for you regarding Sauce's contract.
Right.
When you see something like that as a player making that much money, I mean, you put such a wear and tear on your body for such a long time and only making, say, 12. Does a player get angry at that when they see that kind of number and say, he's making 30, I'm making 12?
I don't think so. And you're talking about for the guys on the team now.
Inside that locker room.
I don't think so. I think it becomes more of a aspirational goal, right? It becomes something that you want to hit. And it's interesting. When you see a team pay players, you even if it's not true, you think, oh, they could pay me.
Right.
All I got to do is have multiple great seasons, and then they're going to pay me. And so I don't think jealousy enters the fray really much at all. Because you know, right? You know Sauce Gardner or Garrett Wilson are two of the best players on the team. And to sit there and try to even tell yourself, well, I'm better than that guy, you know you're lying to yourself. Now, if there is a situation where a guy gets overpaid and then is like dogging it, that's when you have locker room problems, right? If a guy gets paid and just doesn't care at all, just starts not showing up, not being engaged, not producing on game day, that's when locker room issues start to develop.
I don't think Sauce Gardner. I definitely know Garrett Wilson.
Neither one of these guys is going to be that way at all.
No. Think about it. It would have been very easy for either one of these, especially Garrett Wilson, too, thinking about all he's gone through with the turnover at the quarterback position, to look at this and go, I'm not going to sign my extension yet. I'm going to bank on accelerated cap. And do I really want to tie myself to being a New York Jet for that long or play the game? You know, hey, dare you to franchise tag.
Right.
Both of these guys elected to take the money from the Jets, take it a year early, knowing the cap would go up and be Jets. I think they're going to have the right head on their shoulders. Our friend Kendrick in Suffern is here. Kendrick, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Real quick before I get to the point, my friend Phil is the bacon, egg, and cheese king.
Nice.
And I will tell him and I'll tell you, it is disrespectful to go roll at a bagel store. So if you're at a bagel shop, you go bagel. If you're at a deli, you can go roll.
Right. Totally agree.
But last night, the city, it poured. It flooded in the city. So we do not need any more of the tears of my fellow Jets fans flooding the airwaves, complaining about the signings of Garrett Wilson. I am so ecstatic as a Jets fan. And Tiki, you guys were just talking about it, and I want to bring this point up and get your thoughts on this. You know, I've coached at the high school level. And difficult and challenging.
Sorry, Kendrick, you're breaking up. We lost him totally.
Right. I wanted to hear his question, too. Do you know what he was going to ask, Loogie?
I have to be honest, Kendrick and myself were talking about the Evolution pay-per-view that WWE just did. So we were talking Rhea Ripley and Io Sky.
Let me call back. I was interested to get his thoughts because he's always introspective with his questions.
He is. I had no idea where he was going there. We didn't have it on the subject line.
Right. It wasn't there. And also, I didn't get enough of the question to lead me down the line of what he was going to ask.
We couldn't even guess. Oh, he's back. Okay, Kendrick, please.
Sorry, guys. So, yeah, no, I wanted to ask Tiki, and I apologize about that, about, you know, as a high school coach, seeing sometimes the underclassmen being more talented than the leaders and the senior upperclassmen.
Right.
It's tough to keep the locker room. And you were just hitting on something I was going to bring up. You know, we've seen this in the city, whether it was like Scherzer and Verlander in the locker room, and it kind of hindered Lindor's ability to step up and show his personality
and be a leader. Right.
With the Knicks, you saw when Julius Randle went down, the Nova Knicks, and Brunson was able to step up and be a leader.
Good point.
And to me, Sauce and Garrett Wilson have had to stand behind the curtain when, you know, Aaron Rodgers was thrown out there. And you were just saying when guys don't show up to things. You know, what were we talking about starting training camp last year when he was going up to Egypt?
Right, right.
Now with the new leadership and this regime, if they trust that their best players, Sauce and Garrett Wilson, deserve to get paid, it allows the locker room to fall in line. Because if you want to get
And then they become the leaders.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm really excited to see now for the first time ever these guys with Quinnen Williams, I think also,
right.
those three young Jets who were drafted as Jets become the leaders not only off the field and in the locker room, but on the field, because now we have the best, you know, top five, top ten players in the league.
No, it's a solid point. That's a solid point, Kendrick. And here's the thing. There are multiple ways to become leader. One is to get paid into being the leader. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, Evan and I were having this conversation early on in the season when Juan Soto was struggling, that maybe that was part of it, right? He's stepping into the team. He's now the highest paid player literally in the history of Major League Baseball. Yeah. And he's not really the leader because Lindor is, and probably
Pete
to an extent, Nimmo. Like, so it's just a weird dynamic. And then he's not playing well. And that's the other way you become the leader. It's just be a baller.
Right.
Right? You don't have to be the highest paid, but if you go out there and you give it everything every day and or every game day, and every player knows, I know exactly what I'm getting from Jesse Armstead. I know exactly what I'm getting every single day.
Lead by example, they say.
Lead by example, even if you're not the highest paid. You know what? The better example, because he used to tell me this every day, was David Deal. Every day, every game, Teak, you can count on me. And every game, you got it from David Deal. Not the highest paid,
right?
Maybe not even the most like elite guard slash tackles that there were, but the dude gave it to you every day, and he was a leader because of that. And so it's partly performance, it's partly the money. And I think Kendrick hit on something so solid, and it was important. Aaron Rodgers blocked them last year because Aaron Rodgers was the guy that everybody looked to.
True.
Even if it wasn't earned as a Jet. I mean, it was earned as a NFL future Hall of Famer, but it wasn't earned as a Jet.
Everybody who was at Jet camp was there to see Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly right. And whenever there was any discord, it created, I don't know, an argument that we saw on the sideline that I thought was a work, but it really wasn't, apparently, mm-hmm. between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And so I think this frees them, meaning Aaron Rodgers leaving, it frees those two guys to become the men, you know, respectively on their side of the ball. But it also, when you get paid like this, you naturally become the man on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's a good point.
It is. And I think that's a refreshing shift in Jets football. And they're allowed to have refreshing shifts.
Right.
And look at this. Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony, what's up, man?
Oh, I didn't know you guys were going to answer me this quick. I just came back from the beach.
Well, perfect. We have the good topic up right. there. That's
exactly.
why, Anthony.
You want to talk about what we want to talk about.
I know. You guys shredded me yesterday when I shredded Gardner.
Oh, yeah. you were the bum guy?
I remember. He's not a bum.
And then the funny part is, after I hung up, you said what I've been talking about. He needs to earn it.
Right.
I love Wilson. I love that kid. He plays hard. Gardner, to me, had no interest last year. And you guys are pushing for him to get $30-40 million a year.
I'm not pushing for him to get anything. I was surprised he got paid this early. But now that he's paid, he's got to be that elite player that they drafted him to be and that he was for the first 2 years.
Wait, Gardner got paid too? Because I've been at the beach all day.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Anthony, I know you've been at the beach all day. Your topic says Sauce's contract is awful. What did you just wanted to talk about?
No, he's talking about the fifth-year option, I'm assuming.
Year option. Oh, so we're breaking the news to you in the mid-call that you don't know that Sauce Gardner got paid at 2:30 this afternoon?
I had no idea.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, Sauce Gardner is now the highest
paid. Let's present it to him since he thinks he stinks.
Okay.
Well, now I'm actually even more mad.
All right. Sauce Gardner is now, Anthony, while you were at the beach, the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. He is.
All right, so when can I call you guys, just in case? I'm going to call either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick by it.
Yes,
I'll call you guys in November, and let's see where we're at. How would this work?
I would think it's going to be next, like, October. Not 2025, 2026 October.
Full season.
Or 28.
No. Just 2026. Just 2026. In October of that year, because just how this deal is structured, Anthony, and thanks for calling back. Sauce. We appreciate you. Sauce Gardner got a $120 million extension, but it's an extension on top of his existing contract. His existing contract is as follows. This year, he's making $1 million, $1.1 million or whatever the heck it is. Next year,
on the fifth-year option, which is included in the deal, mm-hmm. he's making 20.187. It's the highest you can make for a cornerback. Basically, it's the franchise tag number because he went to two consecutive Pro Bowls. Two or more Pro Bowls, you get the franchise tag when you get your fifth-year option. So it's 2026, he's making $20.18 million. Then the four-year $120 million extension with 60 guaranteed kicks in after the 2026 season. That's where you get, and there's $60 million guaranteed on that. That's where you get 60-plus. That's where you get the $80-plus million guaranteed. 60 on the new extension plus mm-hmm. the 20 from the fifth-year option.
That's breaking it down, Teak, as only you can. I love that Anthony called to argue more about Sauce Gardner.
I know.
And I read that topic as, okay, Anthony has now found out about the extension, and right. we just broke the news to him, and he was calling just to yell about Sauce in general anyway.
Right.
So good, so perfect. Can I plead ignorance real quick?
Go ahead.
All right. Tiki, you're a Jersey guy. You were at Snooki Shore House last week, which yes. is unbelievable. You can go to the Jersey Shore with her. I am a South Shore Long Island guy, live by the ocean. I know that Staten Island's an island. I'm aware that water surrounds it.
Yes.
I don't spend a lot of time in Staten Island. I'm not trying to disrespect it. Does Staten Island have like legitimate beaches?
I have never been to a beach on Staten Island.
I haven't either. When he said that, it dawned on me. It would make sense, but like you're talking about an island, I don't know, like the Hudson River bleeds into it. Like, are we talking about real beaches on Staten Island or some
like
sand?
You're talking about, is it an ocean beach?
Like
or
to,
is
look,
it a baby? I don't know.
Look, with all...
I do not know the answer to that.
With all due respect, I know
as
everybody...
As we look here at the Belt Parkway.
Exactly, exactly. And like, okay, Coney Island's on a real beach. I think the ocean has to be hitting sand for it to be a legitimate beach.
Huh.
That maybe that's my Long Island snootiness.
So you don't think Coney Island is a...
No, it is because it still becomes along the Long Island shoreline. That's where it runs. But I'm saying when Staten Island jets out, think about it, right? The Hudson, like I don't think the Hudson River pounding into rocks and sand is considered a beach to me.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean?
No, because it's a river.
That's
a river.
That's waterfront to me.
That's waterfront.
You're
but
sitting down by the water.
But that's a river. In order for it to be a beach, doesn't it have to be... on ocean water?
I have never thought about Staten Island this much to begin with. The idea...
Now I got to look it up.
I guess Staten Island on one side probably has the ocean hitting it. It would make sense, right? Because Jersey and Long Island, it's the other side of it. But I've never once heard somebody who lives in Staten Island be like, we had a great day at the beach.
Well, it's called Staten Island, which would imply water. Now, according to the internet, I've never been to a beach in Staten Island. But according to the internet, there are South Beach, not South Beach, Miami, but this is in Staten Island, Midland Beach, okay. Cedar Grove Beach, and Wolf's Pond Beach.
Okay, now I understand they're calling them beaches, but are we talking about legitimate beaches like we have on Jersey?
I mean, based on the photos that I'm seeing, they have everything that, you know, would signify a beach, sand,
yeah,
water.
I guess because I'm just
suits.
Looking at the map now, the lower north New York Bay, that feels like ocean-ish
okay.
water.
You know what I mean? You need some
it's
waves.
Like, it's the Atlantic coming in, you know, just yeah. it comes into this little inlet by, down there near Red Bank. And Long Beach, and then it gets into the lower New York Bay, which then is on hit Staten Island.
Look, if
so, I'm going to say yes. That is that seems like beach.
Now, I've never taken the time to think about it. Staten Island, unfortunately, is just one of those places I drive through. On
Cedar
the way
Grove Beach is that one you said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oakwood Beach.
Look, if Staten Island has legitimate beaches, then I think it gets an even more bad rap because that would tell me, I get to the beach in 10, 15 minutes.
I mean, these pictures look like a beach.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm staring at this. This is the beach.
No, but that elevates. Look, Staten Island, that elevation. You guys should be
right.
boasting about that more. Whenever anybody says, oh, your place smells like a garbage dump, bring up your beaches.
Right. Kid playing with a pail and a bucket and
yeah.
a shovel.
Well, that doesn't, I mean, you could have sand at a lake. That's not necessarily a beach.
But it looks like a beach.
Yeah, all right. It looks Staten
Island. I'm going to say yes. And there's one beach that's rocky. It's got like rocks and then the beach below it. Yeah. I would say this is beach.
Rocks is a turnoff of a beach to me. It's got to be real sand.
I agree. You see that more.
No, but there's rocks and then there's beach after the rocks.
After the rocks.
That's why I can't do North Shore. South Shore, there's no rocks.
On Long Island,
North Shore,
right?
On Long Island. Yeah. North Shore, it's all rocks. It's annoying.
North Shore is not a beach on Long Island. Not.
What do you mean, not a beach?
It's that's not really a real beach.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think from what I'm seeing, these are not videos, that this feels more like North Shore where there's no waves.
Yeah.
Like you go to a beach, like a North Shore, and you don't see waves.
Like
you
some of those
like,
Connecticut beaches still
like
along the
snooty
sound.
Rich yeah, people, and it's like, well, there's no waves. So I don't know. I feel like that's what we're looking at Staten Island, but I don't live there. Maybe a couple people that do could let us know.
Well, it looks like
that's a good thing, right? No waves?
No.
Is it safer?
No, you need waves at a... You need killer waves, but
you
waves.
Need waves. You need waves in the environment.
Why do you need waves?
Oh, look, when you go away...
Isn't it safer to walk in with no waves? No undertow?
That's great on vacation. You go to vacation, clear water, that calm, like, boom. When you go to a beach in the Northeast, you're not getting the clear water.
What, so, you're breaking out your surfboard? I mean, what the hell do you need waves for?
That, there's a certain feeling of like, even body surfing the waves. You can't have calm water in dirty water. You know what I mean? You walk in, it's like still. The big waves feel like that dirty water is like filtering.
Right, otherwise you just feel like you're in a bath.
Exactly, you know what I'm describing?
Yeah.
Clear water, no waves,
like Aruba or something where
great.
It's amazing.
Calm, dirty water, disgusting.
Disgusting.
Need the waves.
Exactly. And also that feeling of when the water kind of gets onto the shore and then your feet are in the sand and then it goes back into the water, that's like a rush.
And that
great
sound.
Great feeling.
That sound. John in Staten Island. John, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, we got three beaches. We've got Wolf Point Pond Beach, Midland Beach, and the beach down by Newdorf where they filmed Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, see? Well, that
there you go.
It. But like ocean, John, are we talking about ocean with waves?
Yes.
All right, good for you. All right, don't yell at me. I'm trying to defend Staten Island. Jeez. All I'm saying is that you don't talk about the beaches enough on Staten Island. And maybe now Sauce Gardner with this contract might buy some property there. Staten Island's the new shore.
It'd be too hard for him to get back to Jersey.
Could you imagine?
Actually, you know what? It probably might not.
Yeah, it's not that far to jump across the bridge.
It's actually not that far at all.
Let's say the Outer Bridge Crossing or something, 440. Right.
Staten Island getting a bad rap. Nick in Staten Island. Nick, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
You guys talking about beaches in Staten Island?
Yes, we're asking. We're inquiring.
We're also talking about the Jets.
Nah, no good. I lived in Staten Island my whole life. I just moved to Old Bridge, New Jersey about 6 months ago. The beaches are nothing like Jersey. First of all, if you go in the water, God bless your soul. Go in the water. The only thing nice, if you go down to Midland, all right, you know, they have a nice little boardwalk, nice little seafood restaurant. And then if you go towards the Outer Bridge, they have, it's really what they call the marina area. So, you know, they have a lot of restaurants.
That,
you know,
see, to me, I'm
like
aware
that.
Of marine. Marinas are not beaches. That's waterfront.
Mm.
And we have a lot of that throughout the area.
All right, so now I'm looking at satellite footage. And okay. This is what I think, Sean, you would refer to as beachfront, but not necessarily a beach.
Okay. So it's just like rocky areas, some boardwalks, some...
I mean, there are some houses. There are some houses that are like right on the beach,
and that's nice.
Like, I mean, right on it. Look at this. The ocean or the bay is right behind their house.
All right, that's cool.
I mean, you get a little bit of a tidal rush. That thing is going. It's going in your backyard.
But again, the bay water is so calm. I struggle with.
It's a big ass house too.
Must be nice.
Again, Sauce Gardner can now afford that house. I don't know. All the years talking about Staten Island.
Nicolosi Drive. I'm going to go check that out.
Tiki is giving away.
Got some good golf courses on Staten Island too, Tiki.
They do. Staten Island does get a bad rap in general, I think.
Three great golf courses that I played at.
It's just
times,
if you don't live there, it's a pain in the ass to get.
Exactly. For me, it's like Siberia. We have a common friend that used to live there. Yeah. It's just annoying to get to and get out of. It's like MetLife Stadium. Like it takes you forever to get there and get out of there.
Yeah, absolutely.